Our reading this morning is from Exodus chapter 20, verses 4 to 6. Exodus chapter 20, verses 4 to 6. You are not to make any idol or image of other gods. In fact, you are not to make an image of anything in the heavens above, or on the earth below, or in the waters beneath. You are not to bow down and serve any image, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. As for those who reject me, their children will endure the consequences of their sins for 3 or 4 generations. But for those who love me and keep my directives, their children will experience my loyal love for 1,000 generations. Good morning, White Ints Church. I'm Andy Reid, and you're so welcome as we continue our autumn teaching series, revisiting from 2016 the theme of being emotionally healthy. Just to remind us, we began with an introduction to the material from Shona last month. She challenged us to look again at the information before us, that's God's word and man's wisdom counsel, that draws us to holy imitation and to consider where these often small changes might help each one of us to innovate, to make progress in areas of our relationships that might be damaging to our emotional and spiritual maturity. And then at the beginning of this month, Deborah talked wisely about recognizing how God speaks to us from deep within us, and yet sometimes beneath our calm, impression-managed surfaces, we can be in chaos below. She reminded us of the dangers of keeping too much unresolved angst inside for too long. We might need to remove our masks and let God in. Last week, Shona emphasized that when we're in a storm, we need a safety rope to hold onto, to help us take secure steps forward. The strongest ropes are made up of thinner strands woven together, and we were encouraged to weave together God's fibers, his tools, to help us hang onto the rope that secures us on our individual and corporate journeys and allows us to take resilient steps to maturity. This morning, I'm speaking about one of the core pillars of emotional healthy lives, the bittersweet realities of families, past and present. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, your word is truth. Guide us by that truth, we pray today, in your rich and mighty name. Amen. We each have two important families. Firstly, we obviously have a biological family, and each one of us has to come to terms with God's choice to birth us into a particular family, in a particular place and moment in history. And then secondly, if we know and love the Lord, we have a spiritual family, and each one of us has to come to terms with God's choice to redeem us so that we might be adopted into his family. When we are adopted into God's spiritual family, the church, God becomes our spiritual father. Our passage, Exodus 20, verses 4 to 6, is a part of the second commandment narrative within the list of commandments given to the Israelites. Throughout, the intention is to focus on the primary place of God in the life of his family, along with the health, protection, and unity of that community. Moses had led the captives out of Egypt, across the Red Sea, and into the wilderness to become refugees. But these were God's chosen refugees. He had fed them, watered them, protected them, and organized them. And they now spent almost a year camped at Mount Sinai, gathered together by Moses at the foot of the mountain to hear from God directly about how he wanted them to live. Why? Because he had chosen them and because he loved them. Fast forward to today, God loves us too. He wants us to grow up into mature people, transformed by the life of the Spirit within us. He provided these commandments, a summary of the Old Testament law, in order to show us that we have all sinned, that we cannot hope to meet the demands of the commandments by ourselves. And so we need a life-changing relationship with Him. And although we cannot choose our biological family, who they were, where they came from, and what they did, while we cannot choose what they have handed down to us, we can be certain, we can be absolutely clear that whatever previous generations might have done, we are not locked into the consequences of their choices. Our family of origin does not determine our future. Only God and our choice to worship and obey Him determines that. Our passage from Exodus is a rich commentary on the blessings and warnings that both biological and spiritual families have to heed as we make our life choices, be they virtuous or sinful ones. For the Bible teaches us that in either case, generations can be affected, our spiritual health built up or torn down. We each carry around what we might call emotional baggage. The amount or weight of that baggage affects each of us. Some carry the equivalent of a ping pong ball. Others can find themselves carrying an unbearable weight. The source of that emotional baggage is either within or outside our control. The result of carrying this baggage around can be significant. So God wants us to place our burdens onto Jesus and walk upright. Emotionally healthy spirituality suggests we check out our sinful patterns, unshifting burdens and damaging family traits in order to understand more fully if there's a drag on our emotional and spiritual well-being. This insight should help us regain full health, protection and unity in our families. So it might pay to have a look over our shoulders at our family history. A few years ago, an aunt did the legwork for my family, and I now have records going back to the 1600s. I used this information to probe naval records a little and discovered one quite recent story. On the 20th of October, 1940, the SS Sulaco, a cargo ship, was en route from Avonmouth, Bristol, to Cameroon, West Africa, to pick up vital supplies for the British war effort. At 02:30 hours in the morning, Captain Johann Moore, in command of German submarine U-boat 124, found a vessel in the Atlantic Ocean west of the Outer Hebrides and managed to fire just one torpedo directly at the Sulaco, which was hit amidships. Panic broke out as the ship sank rapidly. Mayday messages were sent before she went down by the ship's first radio operator, my paternal grandfather, Robert Reed. But despite efforts to signal for help from any nearby vessel, the captain and 65 crew members were lost. Remarkably, one man, Chief Cook James Harvey, survived, picked up by a vessel that responded to the radio distress call, and was united with his wife, Sylvia, at Greenock 3 days later. I had to reflect on the likely fear and chaos as the ship went down. A dogged radio operator may have saved a human soul. My grandfather was a Scotsman from Perthshire, so he was almost perfect. He was aged just 39. He had married my grandmother, Lillian Gardner, in 1929, and my father, John Reed, was born the following year. He was just 10 years old when he lost his father in the war. The same age that I lost him. He was just 37. Two generations of men dying in their 30s. Two generations of boys losing their father aged 10. Now, before you all start to wonder what's going on here and question if I will survive this pattern, Can I say I'm older than I look? I never met my grandfather, but I had 10 wonderful years with my own father. Enough time to be aware of character and personality. Enough time to know how much I was loved. Whatever unhelpful DNA I may have inherited, in my late 20s I became a Christian and was determined to suck the marrow from my new status as an adopted son of God, determined to pass on a good baton. Now, there's approximately 80 to 100 generations between us and the birth of Christ, and some estimates suggest about 300 generations or so between us and Adam. Of course, we cannot be certain, but here's the point. In our passage, sinful behaviour caused by rejecting God results in 3 to 4 generations of strife. But those that love God are blessed by 1,000 generations of faithfulness. There's a world of difference between 3 and 4 generations and 1,000. And the difference is love. One commentator writes this. In Exodus 20, verses 4 to 6, there is a fantastic contrast that shows how much God's love outweighs even his judgment. Sin will be punished, even to the 4th generation, but God lavishes his love on those who love him, even for 1,000 generations. Do you want good things for your children? Love God. Parents, the hope of your children's future may lie in how true you are to the Lord your God. If we love the Lord, nothing will disqualify us from letting God work in our favour. However, we must stick together like the multi-strand rope Shona taught us about. The truth is, we can never know our true selves in isolation. Faith is spelt family. Someone has said that we know ourselves to the extent that we are known, that we are all the sum of our relationships. We are also the sum of generations of our biological family. But as adopted sons and daughters of God, we have a spiritual compass that binds us tight as we securely live from his future. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, grant us courage and wisdom to learn from the past, but not be crippled by it. Surround us with your pastoral love, and may we be a blessing to our earthly family, our spiritual family, and the world around us. In Jesus' name, Amen.